Hey, real quick, before we get started, Content Matters with a Z is our content marketing company that helps entrepreneurs tell their own stories to those who care. And here's the thing. We think every entrepreneur that is willing should have their own content platform. And we want to help make that happen, both by working directly with entrepreneurs and by sharing our own stories, exploring the craft of content marketing. Content Matters, one piece of content at a time. Learn more at kazcontent.com. Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, introspective podcast conversations helping build and protect your business one podcast at a time. A KazCM production. In this episode, I chat with Jeroen Korthout. Jeroen is the co-founder of Salesflare. Salesflare is known as the intelligent CRM. Jeroen and I focus this conversation on leverage in software and media. We also get into LinkedIn, sales automation, security, and podcasting. Now to my conversation with Jeroen Korthout. I had seen your team even reach out. The way they reached out to me wasn't spammy. And I even appreciate the fact that you said that was automated. Like, that's what I did. It's not trying to hide and it's trying to be genuine and trying to connect with real people. And LinkedIn is filled with spam right now. Like, I think LinkedIn can be great. And I just also think, like, if I go look at my messages recently, 9 out of my last 10 messages will be spam.
Yeah. They just solved that though. I think it's a few weeks ago.
Okay.
They brought down the limits.
Okay.
You can now only send 100 connection requests a week. Which for the spammers is really, really low.
Yeah, that is low.
So you'll see that your amount of connection requests, I still get them.
Right.
But they're not as prominent anymore.
I mean,
looking in the past few days, I had a few. And
yeah.
I used to get a ton.
Well, and a lot of people, like you said, they're going to hit you up with similar connections, but there's nothing personal there. And it's interesting to me because it's like, if you took 2 minutes, you would find some personal connection there. Like where they went to college, what job they do. Like we get people reaching out to us for marketing services. I'm like, well, clearly you didn't look at what I do. And it's just the ultimate spam. So
yeah. Like for instance, here, there's a lady that reached out to me. So she says, "Hi, Jeroen, I'm Vridi from Ibixo Technologies. We're into the custom development of the website, mobile application and AR, VR." Okay. "We're serving four industries like education, health, real estate, tourism, etc. If you say such a thing, why don't you focus on these sectors?" And because I think I'm in internet or something. I'm not in education, health, real estate,
right,
or tourism. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I was checking out your content and in regards to automation, but like software coding, I think there's different types of leverage, software, coding, and media. And we'll bounce around a little bit. How I like to just... For me, it's conversations and we just happen to hit a record button and meet someone new. But you built this platform and you're building websites for a while and people can go back, check, and we'll share links to different podcast episodes you've been on where you shared your story. And I want to get into some other details here, but leverage in the sense of software and coding, and you can kind of get into this a little bit. I think there's two ways to do it. One is you be the creator and you create the software. The other one is perhaps someone like myself taking advantage of the software that someone like you creates. And you talk about Salesflare being the intelligent CRM, is that it's working for you. And productivity is so important. All of these things are so important. But leverage in the sense of how can I make my day more productive? How can I make my business and the people that work in my business and everything else more productive? When did you realize that you could get out there and you could create something that can just thrive really without you? You put the product out there. And when did you come to this realization that like, man, I need to be in this business? Because you're building websites. Was it then that you like had this idea for maybe getting into something along the lines of helping other businesses out in the B2B space?
No, I don't think any big insight hit me or at any point or so. When I was building websites, I just figured that I really like that. I like building stuff. I liked creating beautiful things for people that they would enjoy. And I wanted to do more of that. I wanted to have a business that did that. I always knew that I wanted to do my own thing. I did work like in corporate and in consulting, but that was because I believed that I first needed some experience, not because I wanted to do that. But I think it's only 2 years ago or so. And it's funny, I remember the moment when I thought like, well, this is maybe what I should do in the world. I'm still not sure, but I was reading actually a book by Stephen Hawking, which is about the origin of the universe and stuff. And then somehow I started seeing clearly like how it all doesn't really have meaning in the sense that it's entropy, basically degradation of energy. And we are life forms that then make sure that the energy degrades quicker, sort of a paradox. Anyway, at that point, I was like, okay, but what is my place in all of this then? And I think that life's a beautiful thing. Like the fact that life exists, it exists for to speed up the degradation of energy, but that doesn't matter. It's just beautiful by itself.
Right.
And if you want to preserve that, I think small businesses are the businesses that are going to do that. They're going to come up with things that basically save the world. And I think supporting those businesses in doing that is something that I can spend my time on. That's what we partly do at Salesforce. Within the process, basically, where small businesses connect with their customers, so where they're collaborating with other companies, we make that go more smoothly by organizing it better.
Yeah. I think what you said, first of all, is like, there was no magic insight. Like you woke up one day and like, oh, wow, I'm going to go do this. And I hear that a lot. And I agree with that because you were building websites. I like building websites. I want to keep building websites. And so maybe you're like, I'm not having as much fun anymore building websites. And maybe what else can I do? And it's not like you have some this epiphany where like, oh, I'm going to go do this now. It just maybe happens. And it made me think of a book, Cosmos by Carl Sagan, and his wife wrote the foreword of it. And she talks about, we're always discovering. There's so many things to discover and we're always going to be discovering. And what we're doing here, like you said, you're talking about the meaning of life and, you know, it's like getting very philosophical, but who knows, right? Like, so like, what can we do while we're here? What interests you and where can you help out? But I think that like always discovering, because you're going to come across something else, right? I mean, there's going to be more, whether it's growth of your business, growth of you and your family, people inside your company and the small businesses that you're supporting. And then you take that, going that question I had earlier, this leverage point of you have an ability to make this business that not only you can leverage for your business because people can sign up right online, right? I can go start working with Salesflare at this very moment. I don't need anyone in your company to do anything for me at the moment, right? You're just behind the scenes. Well, now I'm taking advantage of this system that you and your team created to then go help my business out. I don't have that, let's say, ability to create that CRM system that Salesflare is, but I can take advantage of it. It's no different than the iPhone, right? And the software that lives inside of the iPhone. Well, there's a lot of issues with those things, but there's also like, oh my gosh, like what do we have available at our fingertips? Like the books that we're just talking about. I can go download Cosmos like right now and listen to it, read it, whatever, right? And it's amazing. I think that leverage is so important. And if you can be on your side of it, creating the software behind the scenes and just having someone like myself or any small business in this in the world really just find it online and click a button and submit some money to you and off we go, right? I mean, that is almost like miraculous. Like it's almost like impossible to conceive many years ago. And here we are today. And it's just
it's true. Yeah. It's true. It's awesome. I enjoy both sides of it. I enjoy the fact that we can build something and many people can enjoy it.
Right.
Like the thousands of companies that use Salesforce all of a sudden have this new dimension to things. When soon we release, for instance, our custom dashboards, it's going to be amazing. On the other hand, I also enjoy working one-on-one with businesses. Like yesterday, I did a webinar. There were 7 people on there. They had questions. I could work with them more specifically to solve their issues. So that combination is super interesting.
Are these clients of yours, clients of Salesflare or relationships? Like who are the 7 people, not exactly who they were, but what type of people were they?
I think 6 of the 7 were current customers and 1 was considering.
Okay. Yeah. And so you're just out there really helping people out, right? With their business at the end of the day. And if they choose to like you and what you have to say and what you're product offerings are, then they can continue to work with you. And if they don't, they can go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And there's a lot of CRMs out there. You had said something somewhere where it's like, just because there's software and just because I can go take advantage of it, it's like I can open the doors up to so much work for myself, right? There's just so many moving parts to all of these things that we're doing, like to get really good at something. And a lot of these CRMs, the issue becomes, and I remember when like a company I used to work at before I started my own business, they would change the CRMs and people would freak out, right? It wouldn't just be like an overnight switch. This would be years in the making. They would talk about it and have meetings about it and fly everyone to Las Vegas to talk about it. And then it would never take off, right? It would inevitably, people would be resistant to it. They wouldn't like it because it was like more work for the person than it was actually some software working for you. And so I'll go back to that line again that you talk about, this, the intelligent CRM. Like you created a system that has, I don't know if some sort of learning inside of it that allows your system to do a lot of the work behind the scenes. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the learning is an extra dimension you can still add, but it's basically an intelligent system indeed, in the sense that it sees what data can be connected. Like, it sees that this person, that email belongs to that person, that meeting is with that person, that email signature. And it all starts organizing it in such a way, it says, well, it seems like this person belongs to that company. And you don't have to do all that. The data just sort of comes together for you. At some points, we ask you, do you want to add this? Do you want to add that as suggestions? You just do some clicking and it takes away most of the work you normally need to do in a CRM. All that tedious data input, which you also always need to remember to do any point in the process, like this tiny piece of data you see somewhere and you say, oh, put it in the CRM. Computer takes that over. It sort of all flows together for you. And then from there, you can actually use it to your own benefit, which you can, for instance, what most customers use it for is to follow up their leads better, to not have deals slip through the cracks anymore, to not disappoint customers and to make more sales. And then when it works for you as an end user, it will also start working for the company. Because if you actually use a CRM that actually contains all the data, then so many things are possible. And the company can basically have accurate forecasts. You can work better together with marketing. You can have a sense of which customers you're after. People can be coached better. All of these things become possible all of a sudden.
Yeah. Security becomes obviously an issue with a lot of these things, right? Because you're giving access to giving access to SalesFlare, to access probably emails, contact databases, and all this stuff. Like, was that a big deal for you when you got going on this? Like, obviously, you can't have a disruption in your business because somehow someone hacked into the system and stole client data. Do you see that security is like a huge deal of something that you're constantly working on?
Yes. First of all, that luckily never happens.
Right.
Secondly, we connect to G Suite mailboxes, which already sort of Google requests us to go through tedious security reviews. A big external vetted security company does a security review. We have a vulnerability disclosure program where there's constantly people trying to find little issues in our security, report them to us, and get bounties if it's good ones. And then we fix them, obviously. So there's a lot of work around that. Also, in Europe, we had the GDPR, which also made that we had to implement a lot of things to protect the data very well. Because indeed, SalesFlare has access to a lot of data, which is sort of needed if you want to automate the sales data, see the complete relationship, you know, all these kind of things. But it's safely secured.
Where is SalesFlare? Where are you headquartered out of?
We are headquartered in Belgium.
Okay.
That's center of Europe.
Okay. And do you have employees in the United States? Is it all in Belgium?
No, it's all in Belgium. My business team is fully American, but all in Belgium.
Okay. I gotcha. And when it comes to the security of it, when people were getting started working with SalesFlare, was there resistance early on to share a lot of this data? And has that changed over the last few years in different directions?
Definitely. I think part of that was just CRM software competitors saying that, for instance, like we started off with an email integration. That was the most basic feature, the first thing we came with. And that was something that you didn't have in other CRMs. And then other CRM providers would say like, no, an email integration, that's not handy. You don't need all these emails in your CRM. You only need the important ones and you just copy them over with this little plugin we made or something. That was the way they were thinking then. We figured that that didn't make sense. You want to have the whole timeline in there. So we built that. And initially people were a bit hesitant about that. They were like, do we need all these emails in there? What if, what if? We hardly get these questions anymore. It just doesn't happen anymore because people are so used to have email integration now as a standard.
Right. And there's a trust built in, right? You probably had to have some experience and enough people saw it, enough reviews, enough good comments that, like you said, thankfully nothing's happened and people are more apt to then maybe giving up their information, giving access to their email and whatever types of systems that they need to do.
Yeah, definitely. That also helps. Like people trust it more and more to connect to your emails. We've also tweaked a lot of things to make it like only ask for the right permissions, make sure not to go too far there and make sure that people can hide specific emails if they want to and all those kind of things so that people can keep control over it.
Sure. is competition, like CRM is obviously a big word in business to business and everyone's looking for CRMs. You can Google like, what are the best CRM companies out there? It seems interesting though, because I'm like listening to you and I've as looking in your company, obviously there's a thing of, I have to compare maybe different CRMs. Do you see it as competition though? Because a lot of times like you have this unique product that you've created, this unique software that you created. Is there still like you have to think about your competition or do you not think about your competition? Like, where is that? It's a paradox, right? Like, you're your own unique brand, but at the same time, there are other CRMs in the world that I guess someone is going to pit you up against them.
Yeah, we definitely have competition. People will always, and it's a good thing to do, compare Salesforce to other software. Now, I do think we are the only CRM built from the ground up to automate all the data, and that like where manual data input is secondary. But it's not a message that is very easy to convey to people. One, second, we are not a huge player. So before you even see the name Salesforce, you'll see many other names.
Yeah.
I mean, some companies have budgets that are sometimes thousands of times bigger than ours. So that definitely doesn't help. You'll probably find us if you go on something like G2 and you look for easy to use products. We're top ranked there across 650 or so CRMs. It takes a bit of work to find us probably. The best thing actually you can do, to your point, is comparing a few CRMs. Not just type best CRM into Google. You'll find the CRMs that paid the most to be in that spot. You won't find the best one. It's best to first figure out what you need a CRM for, then go specifically look for CRMs that serve that purpose. That will already make the set much smaller. And then actually use a few. And I mean, really use, not just start a trial and click on some stuff, but actually use it to follow up a few customers and then see which one works best for you, preferably with your sales team, because that's going to be the bottleneck. If
right.
your sales team is not going to use the software, then you can as well not get the software.
Right.
You don't have to pay for it. I mean, it won't work. Just have them try a few systems. That will make sure that you pick the right one first. And secondly, that there's some buy-in that they're actually going to use it because you've decided to get her.
Right. Obviously, more than one CRM can exist in this space, right? Clearly, that's the case. Like you said, there's hundreds of them. Do you see it that way? Like there's a positive sum to this where like both can win, many companies can win in this space because the way I see it, there's an abundance, right? There's an abundance of biz. Like I had an insurance company. We took the insurance company and still have that, but on the heels of it, created content and that led to being a content marketing company. Well, there's a lot of content companies, a lot of marketing companies, a lot of podcasts out there. Well, I think a lot of them can win. I mean, some of them won't, but a lot of them can win because there's an abundance of, like, let's say you worked with small businesses. Well, more and more small businesses are being created every day. There's a lot of businesses out there. People are more apt to doing these types of things that we're talking about. Do you see that abundance as well? You must, obviously, because of the space that you're in and it's highly competitive, but do you see that abundance and do you see it as a positive sum game?
No, definitely. I mean, like I said, there are CRMs that serve all kinds of different purposes. Some might be right for you, some might not be right for you. You can actually pick the one that is best for you. And there's so much space here because the CRM space is the biggest enterprise software market in the world. It's bigger than all the other types of software. So even for us as a relatively small company versus some of the really big names out there, or like medium-sized, you could say, there's still a big business for us there.
Yeah. The aspect of that you mentioned before of finding you, right? That's hard to do, right? It's hard to find some small, you know, there's some other CRM companies that they come, like you said, right on the first page. It's never going to change. They're spending so much money on that. That gets into the other form of leverage that I'm thinking about, which is media, which is content, which is you being on this podcast. And clearly, like when your team had reached out, you have this initiative. It's like, we're going to go and create some content. We're going to get our CEO featured on these different podcasts. Why podcast? Why creating content? I mean, what came to your mind to think we need to go and get out there and put some content out in the world?
Yeah. First of all, we create content because what we're trying to do is help people grow companies better, organize their sales better and all that. Software is just a small part of that. We create a lot of content ourselves on our blog. I have a podcast as well. It's a good way of helping people beyond the software. And then that content is all for now. We have all our content free. It's sort of a way to get the first touch with Salesforce. And maybe at some point you try our system. You asked why podcasts. Actually, the nice thing about podcasts is that they're one, very personal. It's much more personal than doing a conference presentation, for instance. Secondly, for a conference presentation, I need to spend a day, maybe two, maybe three, to create a presentation, which is an enormous amount of work. The audience will not be super big. The audience of your podcast is probably bigger than the audience of most conference talks. We can talk a bit about Salesflare, which in a presentation on a conference is almost not done. I don't get the chance to actually say what our company does. People right. just need to see the name. And then at some point, like, oh, I should maybe see what they do. Or,
right.
And I can scale this. I think in the last year, I must have passed the 200 episode mark now. My colleague, Gary, she reaches out to podcasts that we think are a fit. She books them, get on a call with you. We talk for an hour, it's recorded, and it goes out there, goes to your audience. And if people like it, they might at some point try the software, but they might also not. I mean, it's completely free. And we see it more as some brand building, putting value out there, helping people rather than it's generating direct sales.
Yeah. I've seen it too. Like if you're always in sales mode and everyone's always pitching something, you can see the desperation. It just, like we were talking about before with LinkedIn, it's like you have to make a sale. And if you don't make a sale, you're not getting lunch today. Where when you get into the brand part, it's like you feel confident in what you're doing. You feel like you can take some steps. You can do, you're doing good work and you're trying to meet and work with the right people. You're not just absolutely having to work with anyone that answers the phone, right? I think there's a lot more to it. Do you see the ancillary benefits of podcasting? Like you said, making a personal learning, maybe being a better communicator, a better listener, a better question asker, maybe better training for your team. Does your team see it as like, wait, I can listen to you and I can learn more about the ways you're thinking? Have you seen those benefits or have you thought through and reflected on other things than just growing the business as it relates to creating content and being on podcasts?
Yeah. For my own podcast, for instance, I initially saw it as an interesting piece of content, basically in the sense that what I do in the podcast is I interview fellow software as a service founders. I shed a light on what they do, their daily life, sort of the things they think about and all that, so that fellow SaaS founders don't feel lonely. They can actually see that behind all these big companies, there's known software, there is people struggling with the same things. And we try to expose that. Just very helpful for other people. At the same time, it almost doesn't generate any leads, I think, our podcast. What is the nicest benefit I get from it is that I get to meet awesome people and that often there's partnerships forming afterwards, maybe not directly afterwards, but we know each other at that point. We had a personal conversation and that's just a really nice way of building up a network and meeting other people.
Yeah, it's genuine. It's not that genuine, that word that's thrown around. It's just real. It's like real conversations, real people talking and who knows what comes from it. I've always said like, not always, I've really thought about this though. Like we can get on a podcast, like from your perspective, like you can get on a podcast. I might obviously listen to it and have this conversation. I might become a future client of yours, right? And I'll go and subscribe to Salesflare. Someone who listens might subscribe to Salesflare. That's the known benefit. Then there's these unknown things that you possibly, like whether it's a partnership that came down the road or someone reached out to you and threw out some new idea or someone wanted to buy your business. I mean, who knows what can come from those things? It's just, that is the reason. Just have these conversations. It's no different than us running into each other and having a nice conversation over a cup of coffee across the street. But so many people can learn from it. It's like, well, wow, if I could just, like, I think you had mentioned the book Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. Like those books are so important because they put all this stuff out there and you can just learn from it. It's just there. Like, why wouldn't I want to take advantage of learning from that person who put up basically a memoir together of hundreds of pages that we can learn from their different experiences? And it might be the extreme example, but those extreme examples are fascinating. Right. And it's no different than listening to a podcast. So whether it's that extreme example or a small business that's just getting started, I think people have something to say. And I think you agree with it. And I don't know maybe what holds people back from creating content. Like a lot more people are doing it. And a lot of times it's time. I don't have time to do it. Like I'm sure you get this. Like, Iran, how do you have time to get on a podcast? And you kind of get at a little bit. I mean, you're running a major company. You're responsible for a lot of people. You're responsible for a lot of businesses. You have to make sure everything stays secure. If there's any issues or fires, you have to put them out. As the leader of your organization, do you have time to reflect? It sounds like you do because you're spending time, like you say, an hour during the day talking to me on a podcast. And for some people, that's like, why would you do that? Get to work. where this is actually work, this thinking, this reflecting, this working through things and having conversations is a big part of your day, right? And maybe you don't make any apologies. Like, I'm going to go on a bike ride right now. I'm going to go on a walk. I'm going to go listen to, I'm going to go read a book during the day. Do you do those things? Or is it like just go, go, go all day, all, and then at night, maybe you can sit back and reflect?
I don't read books during the day. I read books, but they're after working hours. During working hours, I might have a podcast with you. Before that, I was actually on the review site answering people who left us reviews. Before that, I was, what was I doing this morning? I don't remember.
Yeah.
There's just these very essential, important things. If you bring a business back to the essence that you can focus on. And that's actually also one of the nice things about running a software as a service business. Is I used to work in a consultancy before. You're just running after the demands of clients all day. It's very messy and chaotic. In a software as a service business, we're always in the business of building value, helping people, educating. And that is a very, well, it's one, very motivating, and two, very calm in a way. And I can decide to spend my time the way I think makes most sense to create the most of that value.
When were you able to maybe, I don't know if it's a timeline or it wasn't probably like, again, and it wasn't some moment where you were able to not be in the, you're in the business, but you were able to come in, like really focus on the things that you think would grow the business long-term, because probably earlier on, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you were doing a lot of the day-to-day stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then eventually you were able to have people that maybe were better at it than you were, or they could do the things and you can go really focus on the vision and, you know, even getting in there. And like, I think that's awesome. Like, you're going in there and answering reviews and you're spending time, like I said, having podcast conversations. When was that? And was that hard for you to transition into allowing someone else to do the work and you go do these things?
Definitely. I think the hardest thing was handing over the customer relationships. I thankfully hired someone really capable at that point. We did it gradually. Like, we did it together at the start. And at some point I could just completely hand it over. It was really nice because that was actually also the first time I could go on vacation.
Yeah.
And actually have vacation.
Yeah.
It was an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
And from then on, I can also decide better on my time. I'm not necessarily, I don't need to be there all the time. I can say, okay, this is important. I'm going to fix that and then just focus on that.
Sure. Well, and if it's something that you want to do or something that's essential to do or something that you just, like you said, want to do, and it allows you to have that flexibility to say, I'm going to have this podcast conversation. I'm actually going to have many of them. And I think this is important. This is my business. And I have the ability to do that because you've built this business that you have very capable people in there that like to do what they're doing. And so, no, I think that's fascinating. What's next for, I mean, maybe not what's next, like what's today, not the future, but like, what are you all focused on right now? Is it just continuing to create value and, you know, get your product out there in front of new people? What's going on at SalesFlare that say, here's our initiatives over the next few months?
A bunch of things. I think what's probably most interesting to the listeners is product-wise. It's also the focus of what we do is making software, right? What we're currently working on is custom dashboards. So up till now, we've always offered these standard dashboards in the software where you immediately could see your sales metrics, but you couldn't customize it if you were like, but I need this as well, or I need it more like that. That was not possible. We now have custom reports and dashboards in beta, or in a very easy way. I hope even easier than in Excel, you can build graphs on top of your sales data. And then after that, we'll upgrade our email tool. We have email automation in there with which you can send like emails until people reply and things like that. It can be used for email outreach. Do you, for instance, we use that tool?
Yeah.
But it could also be automated emails within a sales process or something. We're going to give that an upgrade with some of the often requested things there. And then we'll work on lead generation functionality, we call it. First thing will be a LinkedIn sidebar. That's something we're scoping out now, like defining how it should work is what we're doing now. And then afterwards, that will go into technical specification and then development.
So if I'm in SalesFlare and I'm connecting with you, let's say, would your LinkedIn information come up on the screen? Is that how it would interface with each other? Is that what you mean by LinkedIn sidebar?
It sort of does already. So when you have me in SalesFlare, you add me, well, I'm automatically added basically when you email with me, then you'll see my LinkedIn profile next to it. That is not really the issue. The issue right now is, and we had long discussions with LinkedIn about this as well, because LinkedIn doesn't allow a lot of possibilities to integrate. So people are always working with LinkedIn in one tab and Salesforce in another tab. And it's hard to keep track sort of who you communicate with in LinkedIn and about what, and add these people from the one to the other system. Now we're going to basically bring Salesforce into LinkedIn, where if I'm looking at you on LinkedIn, it says, well, this is Eric. He works at this company. You want to add company? I say, yes. You want to add Eric? Sure. Do you want to guess his email address? Yup. And boom, you're in the system. And I can add a note on you. I can say it as an opportunity to sell to Eric. And that is then all in Salesforce, together with all the things that are already there, like your emails, the meetings, the calls, and all that.
Okay. Do you see LinkedIn opening up this gateway a little bit more in the future? Or is it something that's really hard to get? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
With all things Microsoft, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think so.
Okay. Well, it's been interesting what they've done. And we talked about earlier, like it seemed to, there was a time when Twitter had a ton of spam in the direct messages. That went away. And then there's like very little to no spam inside of Twitter. It's actually very useful. Where LinkedIn didn't have it. Well, now LinkedIn's got tons of spam, or just maybe not spam, but necessarily like just people reaching out and aren't spending 2 seconds to look at who you are. They're just trying to sell you on first sight. The different platforms, do you integrate? Are you looking to potentially to integrate with other social media platforms like a Twitter, where I could learn a little bit about you, see what you've been tweeting about lately? Is that something that you can do in Salesforce Flare, something that you all have thought about?
Yeah, you can see Twitter profiles on people. And if you look at a company or a person, actually, there's a Twitter timeline. Integrating Salesforce into Twitter is probably not the thing that our customers are waiting for.
Right.
They don't really sell through Twitter. LinkedIn is important because actually the main channels our customers sell to is 1, email, 2, LinkedIn, and 3, phone. Twitter is not in the top 10 probably of channels. So that's very important for us to work on right now.
One last question on email, because obviously you've mentioned email a bunch of times, and obviously having an email list, and I'm assuming an email list is important to you, and so you can reach out to them and give them updates or opportunities or whatever that might be. What do you see with, like, where's the direction of that going? Because there's a generation of people coming up, like they use email in school, but they don't email. They use text, they use Snapchat, they're using direct messages and Instagram. I don't know if we know yet, like how that generation of, let's say, middle school, high school, college kids are going to be using email in the professional workplace. And also people change email addresses, they change jobs quickly. Maybe they have multiple, or maybe they have emails for subscriptions, but they only use it for subscriptions and they don't use it for their personal stuff. Like, what do you see as the direction we're going? And this is something I've just been thinking about as it relates to email. So great, you have my email address, but maybe I'm not even checking it. Or how do you see that? How valuable is the email address to you?
I think in a business context, email is the main channel and will remain the main channel for a while. I mean, obviously people chat next to it through LinkedIn, maybe through WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, maybe other things, but I think I mentioned the main ones. But right now, I don't think email will just go away. Maybe for internal communication, we see a lot of companies moving to something like Slack or Microsoft Teams, and that makes a lot of sense. You're in the same space and you're communicating with each other. But when you're communicating between companies, I think email is the best channel.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, the reason I asked you is because someone who's been involved with it, that's an important thing to see what you've had conversations with these different companies and you've thought about it quite a bit. So I take that seriously, what you have to say on it. So, Jaron, I appreciate it. I think just one aspect I could say is when you reached out to me, however your team reached out, right? Automation, Carrie reaching out, having some back and forth with it, having this conversation with you, having some time to spend looking around Salesforce, the website, social media. That's something that I'm intrigued by. And it's, we work with a lot of different small businesses. It's a brand that I could now reach out to. So it's just proof that when you spend a little bit of time and having real conversations with real people, it could lead to a new customer. It may just lead to intrigue and interest and all that. But by all means, like, that's something I'm going to take seriously and look more into. And so it's just proof that content works. But spending time like this and thinking through different ideas and getting into philosophical sides of things and automation and all that. So I appreciate you coming on here, spending your time with us and thinking through some of these things with us. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun for me as well.
Yeah, Jaron, just real quick to finish off, obviously Salesforce is your website. Like, where do you want people to go to learn more about you and your business?
Yeah, Salesforce indeed, salesforce.com. Flare is Flare, if you were wondering. You can learn more about the software. You can actually see it without even creating an account if you like, if you click try it free. Check out our blog also. I was talking about our blog, or if you want to learn more about the podcast, it's foundercoffee.salesforce.com. And if you want to get in touch with me, LinkedIn is still the best place. You can send me a connection request there. Please do include personal message, because if you don't, then I can only assume it's spam, basically. I don't know why you sent me a connection request, but if you include a personal message, I'll certainly connect with you and we can have a chat.
Yeah. Good advice. You gave a lot of it, Jeroen. I appreciate it.
One of my favorite things about CASSource is the opportunity to chat with amazing business leaders and entrepreneurs. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn or visit us at CASSource.com. Thank you for listening to this CASSource production, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Content Matters with a Z is our content marketing company that helps entrepreneurs tell their own stories to those who care. And here's the thing. We think every entrepreneur that is willing should have their own content platform. And we want to help make that happen, both by working directly with entrepreneurs and by sharing our own stories, exploring the craft of content marketing. Content Matters, one piece of content at a time. Learn more at cascontent.com.